But anyways, all right. You know what? My first go around, Rex, I got my cheeks taken by Bullet, so I'm going to redo it. We're going to redo all this. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 51 of the MGTOWN Podcast, your only weekly source for the show with a vaccinated producer. Let us, we must praise our overlord, the great and dear Justin Trudeau. He will save us from all the evil Republicans. Oh, God, I don't know what happened there.
Justin
as usual. Trudeau. Yes, the turbo power bottom that we all wish we were.
Justin Trudeau. What a joke.
He's got the money. He's got the fame. Hey, Drex, how much fun would you have running a whole country without giving a damn, right? You don't give a damn. People are going to vote for you no matter what you do. You could literally force people to switch to electric cars. Mm. And they'll just keep voting for you anyways. How much fun would you have running a country?
Yeah, I mean, I would actually, if I were Trudeau, I would try to self-sabotage.
I think he does that every day.
Like every day, I would try to just be like, let me see what stupid thing I can do and see if people still vote for me. And they just keep going.
Oh, you mean like shoving a banana down your pants, painting yourself in blackface, and sticking your tongue out like a monkey?
Yeah, why not?
Or groping a woman and then telling the media that she must have experienced it differently.
Of course, because why not?
Oh, actually, he's a clown. He just sexually harassed her, or soul sourcing a multi-million-dollar government contract to a friend of his who started a charity that's literally the Canadian version of the UN or the Clinton Foundation for God's sakes.
Yeah, I mean, these people are deep state puppets, man.
Or you know, the guy who fired Canada's first Indigenous justice minister. Because she refused to give a sweetheart deal to a Quebec construction company that got caught taking bribes from Libyan government officials.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean that self-implosion? Drex, if you were to try and self-sabotage your country, could you name me a way you'd do it better?
Yeah, no, right? Well, I mean, Trudeau's good at it. Is he the best at it? I don't know. I mean,
shit his pants in front of the Pope.
Right? Yeah. I mean, the United States is terrible. Australia is terrible. The cucked UK.
I didn't even finish
all these Western countries.
As usual, I'm producer Tim. Joining me is the mayor of MGTOWN. Drex, how are you?
I'm doing better than most. Hello, everybody in the world. This show is actually just more of a free form. There's a lot of random topics to get into. It's one of those kind of weird weeks where just things were happening, right? Things upon things.
Well, we're talking about your amazing U.S. president and your Bunning and Stave vice president.
Ugh. I mean, you know what? This is what people wanted.
Funny. So, one of the days while I was in Murderapolis, as you like to endearingly call it, I stopped in at this random bar. Not too far from where you are. It was called Old Piper.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool sports bar. It was on Sunday. I was watching the football games. I watched Tom Brady throw a bunch of interceptions in the first quarter. That was fun.
Yeah, I heard that they end up so they end up losing, but here's the thing. There's always a trap game at that level. It is what it is. Like people are overreacting. I'm like, dude, you're gonna have those kind of games in a season.
Yeah. Anyways, we're in the bar, and I guess someone's having like a family gathering there. They've got a bunch of tables pushed together. There's a whole bunch of them. One of the little kids says, well, we can't have more than six people at a table. Drex,
oh, Jesus.
The little kid said that. He's like, I don't know, he must have been like 9 or 10 years old.
Of course he is.
He fully indoctrinated. Yep. You know, the public schools are working perfectly. But you know, his dad is just like, I'm gonna stop you right there. Actually, there are four tables pushed together. Do you know how many people we can have? Because there's four people at this table. There's two people at that table, two people at that table, and four people at that table.
Yeah. But you know what, though? The schools have done a great job. We talked about that with the Deep State episode. They need a round of applause every time you see that their plan is working. And their plan is working masterfully. And the kids are... They're basically all indoctrinated. Shout out to Manic the Mechanic for telling us, and Bowser, who explained that basically 90%, what did he say? His niece said 90% of the school is basically all like, we are this gender.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, there's no hope. So it is what it is.
And it was funny. Base dad at the end of the, so when they're all getting ready to leave, he starts a Let's Go Brandon chant in the bar.
Oh, wow.
That I happily join into.
Here's the thing though. Those are battles. Battles don't mean anything to me personally. Wars mean something, right? Like when someone asks who won the war, they don't say who won the battle. Like battles are like footnotes, right? When someone says, oh yeah, exactly. There's this battle, this happened, that happened, this guy
but
won,
the battles
that guy
do
won.
Matter.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
Right.
They
no
matter.
One remembers what happened in the battle, but they do matter.
Yeah, they matter, but like the most important thing is always winning the war, right?
Well, you'll never win the war unless you win at least one battle.
Well, yeah. But I mean,
I think this dad was doing the right thing, right? He's like, I'm going to stop you right there, right? Put a hard stop on this indoctrination. Because I guarantee you, Drex, what other situation would that come up in a normal conversation, right? Look at the average American family. How many of them have four kids? That you can't have more than six people at a table, right? Two parents, four kids.
Yep.
Right? How many people have more than that?
Or, I mean, just someone's with them, right? Their cousin's with them. Yeah. Or how about if you have
but
a team?
But even if it's one or two people over, again, like that's not something that comes up normal, right? Yep. So this kid, okay, it's the very first time in probably a year they've been out to go and meet someone, right? And they drop that nugget and the dad's like, hold up. I'm going to stop you right there. Right?
Of course it was dad.
Because that's how you fix it. And of course, Drex, this was a family whose dad was in the picture.
Yeah, of course it's dad. It's always going to be dad. You know, I mean, but, you know, dads don't matter anymore. You know,
no.
According to
no,
certain...
No, God,
certain
if the wrong person overheard that conversation, they would have called CPS on him.
Yeah. Oh, he's endangering lives. And from what someone sent me... I guess I can't remember where that was. Was that Illinois or Massachusetts, somewhere where there was a custody dispute and it came down to who got jabbed or something. It was just out of control. and that's where
that's
we're
funny
at.
Because everywhere I went around, so I've spent most of the time in the burbs south of Minneapolis. Because why would you go into city proper, especially nowadays?
Yeah, it's terrible.
But everywhere I went, no mask. Right. You and I went out. I actually pointed out the sign to you. Right. If you're not vaccinated, we recommend a mask, but we're not going to tell you to wear one. That's the way it should be. I get across the border here to Alberta. Immediately, first place I stop to get gas. Oh, you have to wear a mask. Put a mask on.
Jesus.
Oh,
nothing's going to change. Canada's done. Anyone out there who still has hope for Canada? Now you guys are done. America's not far behind. Not far.
It's almost, it's a great way to identify the people that we need to kick out when we make Alberta its own country.
Yeah, like, but what percentage chance do you guys actually give that? Because I just don't see it happening.
I think it's 50-50. Oh, it's 50-50 at this point.
Hmm. I mean, you know, Texas
literally,
has
it's up to a coin toss.
For years.
Honestly, the problem with Texas succeeding is, The states, their economies are so interconnected, but their cultures don't quite follow the same way. Like, someone from Louisiana will be insulted if you, like, oh, you sound Texan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or Alabama. I'm sorry, I'm getting my states mixed up. I don't know which one is just to the east of... which state is just to the east of Texas? Is it Alabama?
Arkansas.
Arkansas. Yeah. Right. If you like, if you say something from Arkansas is from Texas, they're just, they'll get offended. Right. They're like, oh, no. But you take a state out of there and the state's own economy, it collapses because it requires shipping stuff out. Mm-hmm. Right. You have a commerce based economy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You have to do with currency.
States actually have the natural resources to run their own first economy. Right.
Well, not only that, what happens
import, manufacture, refinement, or services.
One of the big issues, of course, is when there's a natural disaster, and that has already happened, where Texas has a natural disaster, and then they need the federal government to come in and help with recovery efforts. So therein lies a major problem. There's so many things are interconnected. Unfortunately, no one wants to address the source of the solution. It is what it is.
Alberta's got the uniqueness in that we have both the natural resources and the capacity to develop and refine them, right? We have the oil. We also have the refineries.
Yep.
We have trees. We also have sawmills, manufacturing plants, whatnot. We have plenty of coal, ores, iron, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have all the stuff you need to run a modern economy without import.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we still import stuff by the gigaton. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. It could be lack
cheap
of...
cheap Chinese manufactured steel. The reason is because Canada is a unionized country when it comes to most of our heavy industry.
Mm-hmm.
So labor costs, labor is your most expensive thing. Unions drive that cost through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
It is unsustainable to manufacture steel here when the Chinese can manufacture for a fraction of the cost and get it here.
Yep.
Just ship it over on a giant boat. If you need it even quicker, they can ship it on one of those big Antonov cargo planes.
Well, you always need balance. Balance is always going to be the key.
You just need someone with the balls to stand up and say, you know what, fuck China. That we're not going to buy products from a place that doesn't, that locks people up in concentration camps and has LeBron James shilling for them.
Yeah, but you also need to make sure that your unions don't try to hose. Like, private companies are always going to do what private companies do, they're going to always seek the maximum profit, right?
Oh, yeah. Unions are a thing of the bygone past. They're not functional anymore. They only exist to drive up labor costs and make it impossible to fire unproductive workers. There will be right-to-work legislation. There already is in the province of Alberta. There will be in the Federation of Alberta, too, or the Republic of Alberta,
mm-hmm.
or Republic of Buffalo, as we're trying to call it. So there will be right-to-work legislation. We'll be putting hard caps on the political activities of unions, because after all, you are a labor union. What the fuck are you doing advertising as a super PAC every election?
We'll see how that works out.
We can clamp down on them. Oh, what are you going to do? Cry to the constitutional court? Bitch, I wrote the Constitution.
Yeah, right? Yeah, we'll see.
Going to entrench the Second Amendment into our... We're going to do constitutional carry in clear, plain language, entrenched into the Republic of Buffalo's Constitution. But enough of my pie-in-the-sky fantasies. I'm telling you, though, the U.S. isn't far behind Canada.
No.
As cucked as we are, you are catching up every single day that Biden is in office. It was maybe 4 years behind. It was 6 years behind when Trump was in power. Now you're down to you're a week behind us.
Yeah. There's certain things you get 5 years.
He tried to do it with the OSHA mandate, right?
Yeah. And then they shut that down. It'll only be a matter
this
of time.
This time, because they found the right judge.
Yep. But okay, all you got to do is appeal, right? You know how appeals work. Appeal.
Take it to the Supreme Court. You know they're not going to stand up for anything.
You already know what's going to happen. They're going to just do, well, kick it. We'll cuck out like we always do. Once they cuck out, you're going to go, oh, there it is.
It was like in Cuckold Simulator, press B to save lives to put your mask on. We got to cross promote that too. Everyone listening to this, I'm back from my trip to go out, go film on location. We filmed a hilarious playthrough of Cuckold Simulator. We brought in Team Sneed to do the Sneeders cut of that game. Honestly, the greatest idea we've ever had on this show. Getting the actual developer in, he's pointing out all these Easter eggs to Drex. We're asking him questions. He's got trivia. You can almost do a Wikipedia entry of Cuckold Simulator based on the quotes he said in the interview. So, Drex, that was a lot of fun playing that game, right?
Yeah, well, I actually have it in my notes here anyway. I was making sure that it was the right spot.
We get 5 minutes into the game, and you say, Sneed, I understand why you said this hits too close to home for people, right? We're five minutes in.
There's a lot of things in that game that, like I told Sneed, I've actually seen with my own eyes. And some of the phrases, some people think that some of the phrases in the game are funny because they're funny. But to me, they're funny because I've actually heard people say it, you know?
Yeah. I was excited when my wife suggested we open up our relationship.
Yeah. I've actually heard that being said. So it's like, it's disturbing to see because, you know, I mean, you know, they always say, you know, truth is stranger than fiction. So to see something, it's bad enough when you've actually seen it, you've lived through it. And then like when you see it in polygonal form and all of a sudden you got, you know, here you are in an actual simulator, right? In a simulated game experience. That is something, man. There's so much. Like I said, there was a lot to get to. Just like I said, a lot of random stuff for today.
Maybe we'll convince Sneed to rename the nightclub Thad's.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But he'll spell it with a Z, right? Or a Z, as you called him.
Yeah.
Right? You got to change it a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, just in case to, you know, all the, you know, legal work. That's why we got Nick on tap.
Speaking of Nick.
Yeah, I have a little... Yeah, I have a little shout out for Nick in my little notes here. And the first thing is to speak about the implications of the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, right? And with that going on, obviously we're into deliberations, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it kind of goes back to some of the conversations I've had. I said, I want you guys to think about a worst case scenario, right? Worst case scenario, he gets convicted, whether it be, you know, a major charge or lesser charges, blah, 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 right? It doesn't matter. Let's just say he gets convicted. And I still say that could spell even more trouble going forward, right? Because I think that what you're going to start to see is that you're going to see have more and more men pull out of their protective role, right? So currently in the general society, men have pulled out of their provisions role, right? So men are basically provision and protection. So the provision role, they have had demonized or beat out of them, or they've been, you know, subsidized, things like that, cucked by the government for women to get resources from the collective value of men rather than individual man. So when someone says, okay, well, collectively, the police, you start to look at the police state versus the welfare state. After the 19th Amendment, women are going to go ahead and vote for provision. That's the welfare state. Protection is the police state. But with the Kyle Rittenhouse thing, you started noticing a huge shift. What you saw is when as these cities start to burn, as things start to get worse and worse, people said, oh, hey, we need the police. But see, wokeness means, well, I don't want the police. So then what you say is, oh, I need private security, right? So in this case, that kind of represents what a guy like Kyle Rittenhouse is, right? Private. A citizen coming to help, right? What happens for the sake of argument, this kid gets some crazy sentence, right? 100 years, whatever, 20, 30 years, right? Just time, just a significant portion of time. What's going to happen is people are going to look at that and it's going to set a precedent. And the precedent is going to be much like what happened with James Fairbanks and other people, the dad who went after the guy who sold his daughter into the sex trade. What you're going to end up with is the guys provoking their protection. And they're going to say, oh, okay, so this is how the game is going to be played. This is how it's rigged. Well, I'm going to go ahead and just check that out too, right? The resources are off the table. That's why the marriage rate collapsed. Birth rates collapsed. Yeah. Housing market is about to be done. That's coming. That's going to be a huge reckoning coming forward.
Yes.
It's coming.
Hey, and a very cold winter for those.
It's going to be real cold. It's going to get so ugly with that. And I have that in my notes here about, you know, what to expect in the future. But, you know, being that they, you know, we're at this point, this part is biblical, right? When they say that, you know, the hearts of men are going to become as cold as stone. And, you know, like I said last week when I was talking to Becca the Ass Wrecker about, you know, the whole situation on that Philadelphia train, why I wouldn't get involved.
She's out there wrecking asses.
I need to ask her. She actually sent me a message earlier. The big thing is this, though.
We got to get her on Ghetto Gaggers.
Yeah. I'll send it by her. I'll float it by her. The thing that's crazy is there's a parallel here, right? And the parallel is really simple. When women get on guys like you know, like myself, and they say things like, "Well, Drex, how could you say that? How could you just let a woman be harmed like this? And you should step up and do X, Y, and Z." But then you ask these same people, "Hey, what do you think about the cops who are quitting the force en masse, right? En masse. Cops are literally all across the country. They are just quitting, right?" And when you ask about that, they're kind of like, "Yeah, the cops should quit, right? They're being treated like garbage. There's all these reasons." Yeah,
why would you work for an organization that has no respect for you?
None. No respect, no value. There isn't value.
And the police chief and the sheriff gets up there and says, "We need to support this Antifa bullshit, Black Lives Matter, blah, blah, blah."
Yep. And when that happens, and
you're like, "What the fuck, man? Like, this guy was charging at me. I had to shoot." No, we have to wait till all the facts come out.
Yep, you can't do that. You can't protect yourself.
Stand up for me for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, when you get to this point, though, people are just going to, like I said, they're just going to basically say, "You know what? Okay, cool. I'm just going to go ahead and leave, and then I'm just going to leave this. Whatever happens, happens."
I'm
right?
Just going to leave this mess.
I'm just going to leave it. I'm gonna leave it for you, and you're gonna end up in like in San Francisco. Where
Drex, help! Help! Police! Help!
Nope. Let them die. I don't care. You know, it means nothing to me. When I hear stories, I heard that story in Philadelphia. I felt nothing. Oh well. But that's someone's daughter. Yeah. Well, someone's son's getting hosed in the family court. No one cares. So I don't care.
Yeah. Well, and we talked about low tax, right? Not just getting hosed in a family court, loses, and then, you know.
Yeah, he decides to Minecraft himself. Yeah, you told me, because I had never heard of this guy before. And I look at that, and it kind of goes to show you how devastating it is, right? And the only real options that a lot of men have is get cucked, especially if it's something like I said, a huge divorce like that where you're really losing. You can get cucked, you can put on the hockey mask, or you can take your own life, and or, I guess, for that last one. The issue there, though, is that like there's so many things that have changed in our culture in a very short amount of time. And I was looking at the coverage of this trial and the media manipulation. And the flip side of this, it's given us something, right? You look at the media manipulation and you ask yourself, what has it given us? It's given us a rise in independent creators and reaction videos and analysis breakdowns and all that. And that has, you know, allowed certain channels to blow up. And that's why, you know, I give a shout out to my main man, Nick Ricado, Ricado Law.
I can't believe, like, he was at 158,000 subscribers. Today he crossed 300,000.
Yeah. 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 I couldn't be happier for him. And
imagine the next time you go out to Nick's and he, you know, he flips that camera on, there's going to be something like 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people in that chat seeing you for the very first time.
Yep. Yeah, there's always new faces.
Make sure you know how to show your stuff, man. Because people are gonna like they're looking at Nick and they're like, "Holy shit, this guy has said something I've never heard before," and he's right. Remember, I explained this last week, right? Nick is telling you what your eyes see, and he's telling you to trust your eyes. Okay, you look at that video and you see there's no way this guy has anything other than a self-defense claim. And your eyes see that, but CNN, you know, PBS and ABC News and MSNBC are all telling you, no, don't trust what your eyes see. He actually raised the gun first in his grainy, picture, 4 pixels high.
Well, that's straight out of 1984, man.
I want to stab someone's eye out in Minecraft, listening to them argue about resolution, compression. Oh, the email must have compressed the video. Oh yeah, why is the timestamp different?
Yeah, well, I mean, just this past Saturday, shout out to Joker, Better Bachelor. He had posted a little thumbnail up there, and it said, "This is straight from George Orwell's 1984." It says, "The party told you to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. It was their final, most essential command. Once you get to a point where you can see something with your own eyes and you can hear something and you know what it is, and you still are sitting there going, huh? No, I'm just listening to what I was being told. And you don't even believe get that, then yeah, it's too late. It's too late. It's already, and we're already there. I mean, that's why when you have maps, the fact that someone can even use a term like maps and people are saying, trying to justify that, like I said, it's already too late. But like I said, we're going to have fun enjoying the collapse.
Next time you go out to Nick's, keep an eye on, well, first of all, he had to turn on slow mode for his chat because, you know, you get tens of thousands of people in there at the same time and, you know, the text is just flying across the screen. You can't read it. But yeah, you're going to have thousands and thousands of people who meet you for the very first time. And I'm excited to see what the reaction is going to be. So, Drex, when you give someone the red pill, they do one of two things. They reject it or they embrace it.
Most right? reject, because I mean, most people want to live in a lie, and that's okay.
I was watching the live chat, Joe's live chat. There were some people in there who were just hard rejecting that red pill.
Oh yeah.
Joe's dad was in there.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know. You didn't see that, but Joe's dad was in there saying how him and Joe's mom were married for 50 years. Mm-hmm. She passed away 7 years ago and he remarried. And he's saying, Drex, what you're saying is bullshit, Drex. It worked for me.
Yeah, I'm...
Well, first of all, you got married 50 years ago. I think it was a little different back then.
Yeah, like, look.
We did Nostalgia Week, right?
Yeah, and it's no knock to Joe's dad or even Joe. And I told Joe right there on the show, I said, look, Joe, you're coming from this small community, Orthodox Jew community. Yes, your views are going to be skewered toward that. So you're going to say, well, I don't see this as much as what you're saying. I don't think it's like that. And it's like, yeah, but go out in general society and you'll see something different. But
if Joe's dad looks at OnlyFans right now and then says, oh, yeah, I could see someone wifing that up. Yeah, the problem's you, buddy.
I hope that's not the case.
I hope he doesn't think that way.
But when guys are a certain age,
there were some women in his chat that were bitching at you too.
Oh, were they? Oh, that's cute.
Oh yeah. Then they were making fun of your low camera angle.
Oh, were they? Oh yeah, yeah. Everyone's gonna roast me for that. Problem solved. No,
there were some people who were just like fully rejecting what you had to say.
I mean, even though
Joe doesn't have that many people in the chat.
The beauty of being on the show with Joe is that, like, Joe was acknowledging in certain ways where he said, like, you know, in his community, they're always looking to minimize phone conversations and things like that, right? And internet access, really, right? So when you're saying that, you're like, okay, so what is it on the internet that you don't want them to be exposed to? See, thottery, right? Degeneracy. And I'm glad guys like Koopa. Nick are showing.
Don't let him near Koopa.
Well, I'm glad guys like Nick are really shining a light on this manipulation that's been going on for decades now. And that's why, you know, I give a special congratulations to Nick and his continued success on the show.
Yeah.
You know, like I said,
I couldn't be happier for the guy. I couldn't be happier that he's finally getting his due, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You know, he covered the Maddox lawsuit, right? He called that one correctly, right? He tore it apart. He covers the Vic Mignogna stuff, but he loses that one, right? He's like, oh, this should, you know, this will make it past TCPA. Chup throws it out. All right, so now everyone's squawking at him on Twitter. So, you know, 17-0, Drex. And finally, Nick's getting his due as a lawyer who calls the thing... He calls things as he sees them, right? Because normally he gets on there and he lays into someone like Russell Greer or, what's her name? Holy shit, why am I forgetting the Mountain Jew woman there? The crazy
Melinda
woman.
Scott.
Melinda Scott, yes.
Yeah.
Right? Of course you tear that lawsuit apart because they're funny.
But well, why not?
Now someone's actually saying, oh, okay, here's a legal analysis, my legal opinion, and there's actually people who were saying, you know, that panel that he gets backing him up on this stuff, and people are saying, oh, he actually is a lawyer after all.
Yeah, well, and I mean, we'll see what happens.
Judge Schrader dismissed the illegally carrying a gun charge, And of course, Nick had to go gloat on Law Twitter about that. You know, because Law Twitter was all...
Well, Nick has his haters, and I even have his... in my notes here, I have, it says haters. And, you know, when I, as quickly as I congratulate Nick, I condemn the haters who have gone after him. And let's face it, the whole quote-unquote Law Twitter, these are basically the losers who didn't see ahead of the curve and make YouTube money the way Nick made YouTube money by saying, hey, I can make, you know, there's more than a million ways to make $1 million, and I can go on YouTube and talk about X, Y, and Z as a lawyer in a small town. And do better than the guy who has to go into an office every day. So
Dick Masterson made $1 million on Patreon because of the Dick Show. I think Nick will get there. I think he can top $1 million, you know, super chats and ad revenue put together.
I want him to. I definitely want him to.
Wouldn't it be so funny? Drex, the reason why Nick can hold this over Law Twitter is because, they hate him because they're not him.
Yep.
Right? Right, Mars Girl and Emmett, that Emmett guy, that Emmett loser. It's one of the anti-Vic guys that goes after him all the time. PPP, right? Nick is someone who can now draw a audience that absolutely dwarfs anything they do, right? Mm-hmm. When Arms Girl goes to a convention, three people line up to get her autograph.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's why they wanted to take Vic down so badly. Because when Vic goes to a convention, the lineup's all the way around the block. You were there, you saw it.
Yeah.
Right? Vic can fill a room. Monica Rial cannot.
Yeah, it's all of it is based on jealousy. Like, you know, when I look at my notes and it says haters, that's who these people are. And the one thing is, though, is that when I look at the situation with Nick and, you know, Nick's haters, which are basically just confused admiration, that's what a hater is. There's a great importance to what guys like Nick are doing, and it's boosting up others, right? He boosted me. He boosted Joe. Sure, he's boosted other people, just like he was boosted, right? He got his start, like you said, on the Dick Show. Like, there's this constant cycle, right? And eventually, you know, the plan is for me to be big enough where one day I, like, launch somebody, just like with the War Bands. So shout out to all those guys. Like, it's cyclical, right? Like, you put in a certain energy, and it comes right back to you. And, you know, you want to be in a position where you say, hey, I'm helping put other people on. And, you know, one of the things is that we all have our individual differences, right? Our gripes. Like, I can have a gripe with Tucker Carlson and even roast him for the comments he made about marriage. That being said. Yeah. That being said.
Shout out to Chameleon Crusade Part 2, which we published today.
Oh, yeah. Check that out by the time you guys hear this, if you haven't checked it out already. The main thing is, though, is that when I look at someone like Tucker has lots of great points. My thing is that we have to get to a point where just because someone roasts you on one point doesn't mean they're roasting you for everything, like as a person or as a father, whatever. So it's like, this is me roasting Tucker on this point. And, you know, this other person, because someone can say the same thing about me, right? Like, someone go, well, this is why I'm against Drex. It's because he said this thing, and this is where he stands. It's no different than what I said about my stance on the subway train incident. You know, and Nick had the same view. He's like, I'm not putting my life on the line for anybody. You know what I'm saying?
Nick and I disagree on things.
Yeah, Nick and I disagree on certain things. It's like, it doesn't change anything. And you know, we need to build more instead of... All I see, and you know, people always ask, Drex, are you on Twitter? No, dude, I don't do Twitter. Like, I don't like cesspools of negativity. Like, I'd rather be around people who actually want to do something and build something. If all you're going to do is sit here and say, you know what, I'm here to tear people down. I'm here to, you know, cancel somebody. Not for me. And I look at where we're at right here, you know, MGTOWN Podcast. You guys know, man, you've always had a voice. You know, whether it be in our live chats and even doing shows, even in the early days, it was putting you guys on. We're doing a degeneracy chat. We're doing Nostalgia Week. We're doing things where, like, you guys have a voice. Anybody wants to hop on, and we'll talk about this. We'll put you on a show. We'll give it some perspective because one of the things is as our man LOM says, he says that, you know, this red pill's on autopilot. And that's the point that we're at now. It's literally on autopilot. You start to look around and just kind of see what's happening in the greater culture. And what you're witnessing is it's a balancing act, right? There's been so long of just one narrative, one this, one that. And now you're starting to see the Nick Rakedas of the world. So someone says, well, Drex, why are you giving so much love to Nick? I mean, I know that's your guy and everything. I said, well, let me explain. I'm looking at Nick's viewing numbers. He's doing better viewing numbers than the major networks.
Yep.
And so what is that telling you?
We're not jealous of Nick, right?
Oh, no, God. No, God, no.
No. But we're happy for his success. And the best part about Nick, too, is... So, of course, everyone knows I was traveling. I did the Minnesota State Tour last week. Nick will never get so big on YouTube that he says, no, you're not allowed at my house anymore.
Yeah, he's always been Nick. Certain people don't ever have, they just don't have that in them. That's just not who they are. Nick's never been that guy. And the people that he is surpassing, they are that guy or that gal, right? The Rachel Maddows of the world and all these. Dude, no one wants to listen to these people, man. It's not only that, but
not only do people not want to listen to them, but they think everyone wants to listen to them, right? Yeah. Like they're so far detached from reality. Nick is always going to be Nick, and Nick's always going to be friendly to the people who, you know him, right? Mm-hmm. Nick has invited many fans of his into his house, and he always will. I don't think there'll ever be a point where Nick is so big that he doesn't want to hang out with us anymore.
Yeah, I've only known the guy 25 years, so...
Well, you're a little different story, but I mean, even from my perspective, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think there'll ever be a day where Nick says, well, when I say, hey, Nick, I'm in town, can I stop in and say hi? You know, say hi to you and Lady Rackets and the little Racketeers.
Yep.
Those damn kids.
It's a great thing. It's a great thing that, and that's, and this is like a special shout out to everybody who's on Nick's panel. I saw Uncivil Law on there. I saw Kurt. I saw Joe on there. There's a lady on there. I saw a blonde lady. There's a couple other faces I didn't recognize, but like
Smash or Pass.
She's married. I don't mention people like that.
Oh, right. I forgot.
The main thing with that I look at with Nick's panel is that, It's a new wave. It's a new era. It's something that where for so long, and in this platform, like I said, we just started, and for so long, all you guys have been subjected to is the mainstream narrative, right? There's a mainstream narrative that's out there. Everywhere you go, you only hear one kind of program. You never heard anything to the contrary, and now you're hearing all these things from the contrary. You're hearing Nick. You're hearing me. You're hearing the War Band. You're hearing Coach Greg Adams. You know, even Kevin Samuels, like I said, people can have whatever issues with them, but you're a guy over a million subscribers showing someone, at least, like I said, regardless of what you think of him, at least he's showing something different than what's on mainstream media. If you turn on the TV, it's always been Man Bad for the last, I don't know what, at least 40 years. So all of a sudden someone has, you know, I have an open forum, I'm showing these topics and I'm going to bring these women on and we're going to talk about X, Y, and Z. And people are now seeing for the first time, like, wait a minute. Maybe the fiction that we've been fed is exactly that, fiction. Because a lot of the women on Kevin Samuels, like if you really listen to them, yes, they are edumacated. Yes, they have X, Y, and Z. And yet they are totally delusional on how to get a man, how to maintain a high-value man, what sacrifices need to be made. And it's like, no one told you any of this? And like they're like, no. They literally went through life basically just blind. And it's like, yeah, that's good. Coach Greg Adams, there are guys out there, you know, like Chronic and stuff, they're showing, hey, man, look, these are these TikTok videos. This is how you guys have been getting played for all these years. And people are just kind of doing this thing. Where it's like an awakening. It's this grand awakening. And I look at guys like Hammerhand. He had a series. I hope he brings it back. Shout out to Hammerhand, by the way.
We got to get him on the show sometime. I got to reach out to
him. Oh, yeah. I love him. He's a great guy.
We are so backlogged for guests. And, of course, you know, we're preparing for December 4th, the big day, right?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Anniversary. But
the thing about Hammerhand,
get shit together here.
Hammerhand had a series, and the series was called the Coming Juggernaut, right? And he would talk about all the things that are coming within the culture, and it was a great series he had because as the incoming juggernaut comes, you're starting to see that now, the legal and political systems, right? They're under increasing scrutiny, right, and pressure. And someone goes, well, why is that? Two major things are happening. The reason why they're under such heavy scrutiny and pressure. Two things. We are more divided than we've ever been, ever, right? And then the second thing is that the economy is getting worse and worse and worse and worse. So as these things happen, someone goes, well, why is that important? Well, if I asked you guys, when you went to the grocery store, how much did your last bill cost, right? What was your bill total? You went into the store, got like 8 items, and your bill was $90. You're like, wait, I barely bought anything. Chicken is costing you more than it's ever cost you in your whole life.
Gas.
Gas is gone back up. Although this is not the prices gas has been. I remember when it was over $4 in Minnesota. It was brutal.
It's not that far away. It was $3.40.
It's depending on where you are in the state, it could be as low as $3, but as high as about $3.50 might be the worst.
I know because I just drove through all these states, right? Montana was like $3.19, North Dakota was $3.10. Around the city it was like $3.40.
The cities are always gonna hit you harder.
Well, they got the gas tax, right?
There shouldn't have been. You're gonna get hit. Everyone, that cost is gonna get pawned off onto everybody, man. So the reason why I bring this up with this. Right? Was that?
Because gas in Hennepin County, I guarantee, is higher than gas in, say, Dakota County.
Yeah, in general,
The county taxes, right?
County tax plus the fact that you just have, more people means more traffic. You have more traffic, more cars. You're going to say, hey, I'm going to raise the price of gas so I can get more money.
You actively seek to disincentivize vehicle travel in a city as big as Minneapolis.
Yeah, I mean, people aren't going to wait till they drive, way out of their way to fill up in another city. So they'll fill up where it's nearest to them. Yeah. But the thing is, though, is like I said, getting to the climate, right? This socio-political climate and legality. The thing is, though, is that it's more important than ever to stay going your own way. Because as we all know, the chameleon is about to come out of the woodwork, right? I've warned people about this on Nick's show, and I continue to warn them, like, when the times get tough, you know it's going to come. All of a sudden, expect to see a huge rise in femininity out of the women that you come across. The faces aren't going to look the same. We actually saw this in the early days of the lockdowns, right? When you went to about, like, I would say April, May, and June last year, you really saw it. People were acting a lot nicer because they didn't know. There was a lot of uncertainty. A lot of people were suddenly not going to work every day. And before you know it, they're like, oh, God, I don't know what I have to do. And this is going to be the time when, because of this femininity, there's going to be more guys who are going to be lured by some of these women for relationships. And as you guys know, I told you, no, ever. Don't do it. And the reason is that when you look at the financial drain, the emotional drain, the spiritual drain, you're going to have less money. You're going to have less free time. You're going to have less energy, but you're going to have more stress, right? More bills. You're going to be losing, and you're going to be losing the things that you don't want, right? And then gaining more of the things you don't want. So it's like, wow, I want money. Why am I losing it? I don't want stress. Why am I gaining it? It's going to be simple as that. And I told you guys to expect me to get more out of control, right? And it's also going to get more and more desperate. It's going to be, they're going to start going after people who they shouldn't be, whether it be, oh, we're going after, we're going after someone from beyond the grave. We're going after somebody who, I don't know, is currently quadriplegic, whatever the case may be. And I want you guys to understand that the schools and the media is about to get more woke, and they're going to target you. And, I had a couple of stories here that I looked at, and there it kind of goes to show you how, like I said, the legal pendulum is a certain way, right? Swung a certain way. And obviously we're constantly harping on these schools because it's going to show you the changing, the rise of the tide, right? Things are changing. When we start recording these Nostalgia Week episodes, I'm hearing these changes, how a guy who was born closer to my day was saying, yeah, school was like this. This is how the household was. All of a sudden you talk to a young buck, you're like, wait, what? So I'm looking at this story here. We got a guy, prosecutor, and for those of you who think that people who are on a certain side of the law,
you mean like Fluffer Boy 2004? Did you see that? That is that the prosecutor in Kyle's case, Binger, allegedly that was his old email from back in the day, Fluffer Boy 2004 at yahoo.com.
But good for him. Good for everybody good who for endorses
him.
It.
Good for him for being a fluffer boy.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be a fluffer, sure. But you know, though, people want to
Well, and it's a contrast, right? Because Kyle's TikTok was four doors more whores.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then Binger is fluffer boy. Okay, who... Drex, who would you rather trust? The guy with the four doors more whores handle or the guy with the fluffer boy handle?
Never trust somebody with a fluffer boy handle, man. Get real. Just like you shouldn't be trusting somebody who's like Dr. Dre's ex-wife. Don't trust somebody who looks like Nicole Young. And, well, look at this story of a prosecutor, right? And this kind of goes to show you just how this thing is going down, man. This kind of goes into like the Kyle thing. This is from the AP on Yahoo News. It says, prosecutor pleads guilty and resigns as jury deliberates. And this is out of Columbus, Georgia. And it says, as a jury was deliberating over his fate, a Georgia district attorney on Monday pleaded guilty to several charges stemming from improper acts while in office and agreed to resign. Mark Jones had already been suspended as, this is a horrible sounding thing, Chattahoochee Judicial Court District Attorney after the state attorney general's office obtained the indictment on September 7th. It accused him of trying to influence a police officer's testimony, offering bribes to prosecutors in his office, and trying to influence and prevent the testimony of a crime victim. Jones took office in January, overseeing the Chattahoochee Judicial Circuit, which serves Muskogee, Harris, Chattahoochee, Marion, Talbot, and Taylor counties in West Georgia. And this is where the deliberations are. It says, after deliberating briefly Thursday and then all Friday, jurors had indicated Friday afternoon that they were unanimous on three of the nine charges, and the judge instructed them to keep working on the others, according to local news outlets. After about an hour of deliberation Monday, jurors said they had reached a consensus of guilty on five charges, but Jones had decided to agree to a plea deal. Now, it's funny how he gets to a plea deal at this point, right? During the
deal is like, oh, we're going to incentivize you avoiding the trial.
Avoiding trial. Yeah, you avoid all that. And this is the beauty. See, it says, this is the quote by them. It says, by abusing his power and abdicating his responsibility as district attorney, Mark Jones did a disservice to those he was elected to protect and put our very justice system at risk, Carr said in the release. This outcome is a victory for integrity in prosecutions and the rule of law. But see, this also tarnishes all of the case that he's already worked on. And this is something that you're going to start seeing more and more. Like I keep telling you guys, the system itself is getting more and more desperate. And you're going to start seeing more and more of these cases where, like you said, you know what your eyes are seeing. You know what your ears are hearing. And yet people are trying to tell you, no, that's not what you hear. That's not what you see. And I got to give a special shout out to my man Shaftesbury for sending me a couple of things, because this is really a sign of the times when it comes to the culture. And also from the AP News, you know, the student suspended for only two genders comments. This guy sues the school, right? And this is in New Hampshire. Like you say, we go all over the place, right? State to state, you know, region to region. You start to see this narrative playing out, right? And as you look at the greater culture, you start to see this narrative play out in real time when, oh, more cancel culture, but only if you say these things, only if you support this person or if you don't support that person. And it says a New Hampshire student athlete is suing his school district after he was suspended from a football game for allegedly expressing his view that there are, quote unquote, only two genders. And this is the thing. Later in this article, it says, you know, the plaintiff is also aiming to prohibit enforcing Exeter High School's gender nonconforming students policy because of what he says is its infringement on his First Amendment rights. Now, at the end of the day, the reason why all of this is important is because it's only allowing certain things to prevail, a certain narrative to prevail. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about always, is the narrative. Because Shaftesbury sent me an article that is actually in some ways worse because it's coming out of Florida. Because, you know, as you guys know, everyone talks about how Florida is so, you know, non-woke and, you know, they're whatever. This is out of Florida. Florida schools secretly colluded to alter students' gender identity. Parents of a 13-year-old girl or 13-year-old daughter filed a lawsuit against her school for, quote-unquote, violating their parental rights. And it says the parents of a middle school student in Leon County, Florida, have filed a lawsuit against the school district for privately meeting with their daughter to discuss her gender identity without informing them. The lawsuit, submitted on October 18th, contends that the school district's gender identity policies violate the plaintiff's parental rights under the Florida and U.S. Constitution. So it says, the suit says the girl who was a student at Deer Lake Middle School at the time started expressing confusion about her gender identity in the spring of 2020, and parents permitted faculty to refer to their daughter using the nickname Jay. And then it goes on to say, according to court documents, by late spring 2020, AG told her parents that she was confused about her gender and believed she might be non-binary. Mrs. Littlejohn learned that earlier in the year, three of AG's friends had stated that they were transgender. She also observed that AG was receiving text messages from transgender friends. Now, the reason why I bring all this up is because A, this is in Florida, a historically red state. B, and more importantly, do you guys notice that before all of this was taught in schools, before it was, I shouldn't even say taught, preached and enforced in schools, nobody was trans. All of a sudden, everyone's trans, right? And this is important because as Shaftesbury sends me this, right, I look at the long-term repercussions of, you know, when it comes to when these people, you know, start to snap out of this spell. As they start to snap out, they look around, they're like, this is when you start getting the where are all the real men kind of threads, right? Female dating strategies, Laura Ingraham, Deanna Lorraine, everybody else who keeps on crying, where are all the men? Where are the... Shut up. Okay? Everybody was in on this. Everybody wanted these kinds of environments because if you didn't want it, you wouldn't even allow it. If Florida is supposed to be red, then how do they allow this? I thought the red didn't allow this, but they did. So, you know, trying to make excuses. No, we're not accepting excuses. You allowed woke because you are woke. And you did nothing to stop it. And then on the flip side, I look at forgiveness and repair. I had this time to watch another gal's channel. Her channel is called Popcorn in Bed. And she was watching Rocky, and I was watching her reaction video. And it got me to thinking about the nature of Rocky. And it was actually a great reaction video, too. So shout out to her and the channel. But I'm watching the very nature of the movie Rocky, right? And forgiveness and then repair, right? How you repair relationships through that forgiveness, right? Because you got to forgive someone first, and then you go out and you step out and become proactive and repair that relationship. And I have on here, right? You know, you're looking at Rocky and Mick. Of course, we meet Mick in the movie. He's very cantankerous. He's very adversarial towards Rocky. And of course, later on, we learn why. It's because of his disappointment in Rocky. And yet, you know, Mick basically kind of passed him over, blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, what ends up changing is that, you know, when Rocky gets the title shot, Mick tries to come, you know, kind of sniveling, trying to get his one last shot at glory. Because the man is 76 years old in the movie. And of course, Rock is not wanting to have it. But after Rock goes ahead and, you know, berates Mick and is basically kind of screaming in his little shoebox apartment that he keeps saying it stinks, he runs outside knowing he has no chance of beating Apollo Creed and makes it up to Mick right then and there, shakes hands, and they get to work. Rocky and Pauly, right, throughout the movie, you know, also a combative kind of relationship, but they make good by the end, right? He ends up getting the $3,000 for the robe, blah, blah, blah. Rocky and Apollo. Of course, their relationship gets further delved into in the sequels. Didn't like the fact that they killed him in part four, though. But you're talking about guys who are, they start off as bitter rivals, right? Bitter rivals. Yep. And yet it's through that nature of their competition that they form a very deep bond and friendship. And, of course, that gets expounded upon in the Creed movies where Apollo's son wants to, you know, step in his father's shoes, right, his footsteps, and is mentored by Rocky Balboa. And which leads me to something that I always mention, which is giving people a chance, and that would be Adrian and Rocky, right? So with a character like Adrian, you know, one of the things I find funny about watching React channels is that, like, especially with women, they'll always scream about how, like, they love to see love. Like, oh my God, they love each other so much. Rocky's so sweet. I can't believe he did that. Oh my God. And yet, if you look at their own life, it's like, would you give a guy like Rocky a chance? Because, yeah, the guy may not be Prince Charming. He may not be perfect. He's not Christian Grey. But a lot of times, this kind of goes back to what we talk about. They don't give a chance. Adrian is very shy, very standoffish. She doesn't really give Rocky a chance. But when she finally does, it changes her life, and it changes her confidence. Her outlook on life is better because she has a man, a protector, a provider, a guy that's like really now where everything is fast food. It's like you meet somebody, they have like 4 seconds to basically impress you, like impress me or die off in a fire, you know, horrible, horrible fire. And the problem with having that kind of a response and that kind of an attitude is that where does it get anybody, right? And it gets people basically nowhere, of course. And, you know, here we are, I'm looking at this, and as the movie goes on, right, with Mick saying women weaken legs, even a guy like Gazzo, right, you have a loan shark who gives Rocky money to date Adrian and asks him, hey, do you have any money for training? This is a guy, this is a literal, a criminal who is still helping a guy who's been forever down in his luck. He gets one shot, and like people rally around that. And I think that's why a movie like Rocky resonated with so many people. He is the ultimate underdog. It's the underdog story is Rocky. And, you know, we're at this point now where it's like no one's allowed to be an underdog. No one's allowed to grow, to develop, whatever. It's like, oh, when he shows up to me, he should be, you know, flying his own helicopter and have $20 million sitting in the bank. And that's just not realistic. I mean, the economy can't support that. And we're driving further away from each other because there's no forgiveness anymore. Both sides are digging their heels in, just like, nope, 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 nope. So you don't have that forgiveness. You have that, there's no repair. And without that repair, all you're going to end up with is what? You're going to get further into what they really want, which we all know what that is we're looking at this thing with Capitol Hill, right? And this reason why it's a big thing to focus is that what are we focusing on? Okay, somebody's focused on Kyle Rittenhouse. This guy over here is focused on woke TV, right? And the politics on Capitol Hill, right? Everything that you see is a distraction, right? 24/7 coverage, Kyle Rittenhouse. Let's debate. We got talking heads. That's cool. But all of this is a distraction. And someone says, well, Drex, what is it a distraction from? It's a distraction from the impending financial collapse. And it's going to be the money movement. I don't know if, for those of you who know this, but during the lockdowns last year, that was the largest wealth transfer in history ever. History of the entire country. The largest wealth transfer was doing, oh, Tim, I thought nobody had anything, right? No one had money. No one had food. No one had anything. Okay, so if that's all true, how did we have the largest wealth transfer in the history of our country last year?
Oh, remember that coin shortage bullshit?
Yeah, coin shortage. Yeah, dude, Jeff Bezos gets divorced during the lockdown. The same Jeff Bezos who lost $36 billion in divorce is now richer than he was before the divorce. Yep. It's like, look, congratulations for making money, but it's like,
yeah,
when you see money moving like that, that's a problem. When you see money moving and you're going, man, I'm looking at a lot of people around me getting a lot poorer, but then you look around and you kind of go, yeah, some people are getting richer, but there's money moving. It ain't moving in the right spot. More and more people are going to be homeless.
The right? Cost of living keeps going up. The greatest artificial wealth transfer in history was the creation of the family court. Because one side of the argument says, well, Jeff Bezos built a company, mm-hmm. right? Do you think he got that money illegitimately?
Yeah. They... No.
I can tell you who got the money illegitimately, and it's anyone who got it from the family court.
Yeah, it's the family court's legalized extortion is all it is, and it operates beyond the Constitution because it is unconstitutional, and it doesn't acknowledge any part of the Constitution.
And if you're sitting there thinking, oh, hey, but Drex, you know, she gave up her career to be with me.
You might be a simp. Yeah, those guys. Look, man, good luck to them, right? But there was a Sir Yidis post that I saw, and
God, I got to get him on too. Jeez.
Yeah. So, shout out to Sir Yidis. I saw this post and I loved it. And the post reads as follows. It says, the two richest men on earth couldn't keep their wives happy. What hope do we have? And it shows a picture of Bill Gates' divorce, Jeff Bezos' divorce. And there are guys out here who are still out on the minefield, you know, hoping that they can, you know, snag something and go back to, I don't know, a happy little house on the prairie life or something. And one of the things that bothers me about this post is that by looking at Jeff Bezos, I keep thinking, and I was just talking to NCAA Cat about this. I said, that video with his girl, right? His little new chick, Lauren Sanchez, right? I want you guys to look at that behavior, right? Look at that behavior of one Lauren Sanchez, Jeff Bezos' new girl. And she was thirsting for Leonardo DiCaprio, right? While Bezos was literally standing right there. Like Bezos, she's talking about the richest man in the world literally getting cucked. And I keep going back to it because it's like there are certain lessons that need to be taught to the you know the generations behind us. And one of the things is money cannot and will not buy you the things that you really want from a woman. And what you really want, of course, is you know the love, the respect, the loyalty. And it's like money cannot do that, right? When people say the best things in life are free, loyalty is free, right? Companionship is free. You know, all these things. There's so many things in life that are free, yet they have limitless potential and limitless value because it's like, man, if I could just get this thing. You look at what Bezos did. Never invest your money and expect loyalty in something that's going to bleed once a month when all you did is just said, look how much money I have. You led with your wallet, you're going to leave. You're going to lose her with your wallet. That's why there's that old saying, right? How you got her is how you're going to lose her. So Bezos leaned into Lauren Sanchez, someone who's way too old. He should be with someone significantly younger who would appreciate his resources. And Bezos did all this. And I'm looking at him like, but bro, even with all this money, you didn't learn the first lesson of the red pill. One of the first. Attraction versus arousal. Yes. Every single woman on this earth is attracted to Jeff Bezos, right? They are attracted to his resources and his ability to provide and by extension, protect. Notice I said attracted. Lauren Sanchez is attracted to Jeff Bezos. You know what she's not? She is not aroused by Jeff Bezos. See, when you pay to play, this is a shout out to Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates. When you guys look like the way you do and you have to pay to play, you have to simp to get you know, anything from a woman. Like, no one, like, without money, we all know Bill Gates would get none. Zero. Jeff Bezos, none. Zero.
Yeah.
There's no line of women lined up to hop in the rocket with Bezos if he doesn't have the money for the rocket, right? And that's no knock on him. It's just, it is what it is. When you see that video of how Lauren Sanchez is all over Leo, it speaks volumes. And you know, at the end of the day, I remember that video of attraction versus arousal that Donovan Sharp had. And this is maybe like 2 years. It was a good while ago. It reminded me of my own experience, you know, being a young bull in the lifestyle, man, where I would sit around and I would be like this. So let me get this straight. There's all these chicks that want to get smashed, right? And then you look, you're like, wait, so you have a boyfriend? You have a husband? Like really? Like, this guy's okay with this? See, you learn something in lifestyle, and you learn that these women use these men because they are attracted to them. They go like this. Yes, he has a good career. He has good this. He has good that. They don't get wet for them ever.
If I was a woman, I'd be very attracted to someone who could literally afford to buy me a bodyguard.
Yeah.
Who I would then proceed to sleep with.
Yeah, right? Of course. Of course.
By the way, Koopa's got a good point. You know what woman will never hit on another man while you're there? Contact Dollhouse Phil for more information.
Yeah, shout out to our man Dollhouse Phil. Well, that's part of the future, man, is, you know, I look at just how the dynamics of relationships played out while being in the lifestyle and seeing it with my own eyes of being like, wow, these women really are just using these guys. And that's why, like, you know, they said the beta bucks deluxe. And then, like, you know, when I play Cuck Simulator, it hits so close to home because, like, I'm looking, I'm like, dude, I've seen this before. I've witnessed this with my own eyes. I've heard these guys say this.
Wife is like, you always do this. You get attached to the bulls.
Yeah. Yeah, look, you got guys out here so weird, man. They'll actually, like, try to, like, want to hang out with you. And so, like, hey, you should, come on our boat sometime.
I'm Tyrone's best friend.
Yeah, like and you're kind of looking at it like, bro, look, I'm here to smash and dash. But the thing that I look at all of this, right, and I ask the ladies out there, what do the ladies have to say, right? If you're a woman and you've seen all this, what do you have to say?
Oh yeah, we'll have to do that wife panel soon.
Oh
after,
yeah,
after the 1 year, I think a good time to do the wife panel is close to Christmas.
When people are in their full cupping season mood. All of this stuff, it points to a larger issue. And it points to an issue within the culture itself. And, you know, when someone says, well, you know, Drek, you know, what does the future have in store? It has quite a bit because, you know, like I said, we've seen some of the things that they're pushing. We already know the pedo agenda. And, you know, I have to give a special shout out. That was Koopa who showed me the text right before the show, literally right before. I looked in there and he had a picture of Simon Cowell. And apparently, one Simon Cowell got caught up in some things, right? And as I look, and I want to make sure that you guys see this because, or at least hear it, I should say, because this is very disturbing, man. Is that I'm sitting there listening, and I'm going to find it right here, right before the show. Koopa sent that with, unfortunately, Simon Cowell does look just like Dollhouse Phil, but what can you do? Right here. It says, Simon Cowell suddenly quits TV. Simon Cowell is stepping back from TV to spend more time with his family. Now, Tim, everybody knows what that really means, like scandal, right? When someone says, I'm quitting my multi-million-dollar job to spend more time with my family. No, something happened. There's some kind of scandal like lurking on the horizon. And here's what it says, for those of you who can't see, obviously. It says, leaked photo of hashtag Simon Cowell with a, all caps, very underage girl in Thailand. Still think it was a quote-unquote mistake that he put up 50,000 euros bail for the prolific child abuser and radio DJ Jonathan King. Yeah, right. Then at the bottom, there's a picture of this creep, Jonathan King, and it says, King ran child sex ring for stars, and it says, Jonathan King, bailed by Simon Cowell for 50 grand, ran VIP sex ring. See, once again.
Kind of sounds like the English version of Jeffrey Epstein.
Jeffrey Epstein. It sounds eerily similar, right? The people who don't understand this, man, I let people know, man, there is, you know, we did that episode on the agenda. How long before people finally wake up and say, okay, yeah, this is true. This is real. This is what people are doing. Because, I mean, if you don't.
I don't think people want to wake up.
Well, of course not. That requires, you know, too much thought. And there's actually I was sent something. This was by Hoshioni. And, you know, I remember I saw that headline. It said DOJ whistleblower document suggests, you know, this attorney general Merrick Garland lied about the targeting of parents as domestic terrorists. Tim, this is the future.
Oh, color me shocked on that one.
Yeah, yeah, this is the future. For those of you who don't know, the all-out war on the nuclear family, on men, on especially white men right now, at least, masculinity, all of this is the final endgame before they install full-on communism and socialism. So, you know, that's that. But to let guys off with a nice story, right? I mean, because, Tim, you always got to have something lighthearted, right?
Well, that's why we go to the email bag, because they always cheer me up.
Well, this isn't a cheer-up moment. This is something that's disturbing. Someone
is it
sent
Koopa
me.
Disturbing?
Oh, God, I wish we were that lucky. I was sent an article. And every now and then, someone sends me an article that makes me really just kind of go, wait a minute. This just took it to the next level. So, let me make sure I click my thing here properly. And this is from our man, Agrilith. We have a story here from Newsbreak that's going to disturb all of you. And it goes very simply as follows. 480-pound woman charged with involuntary manslaughter after husband died while performing oral sex. And this story is wild. It says, Franklin County District Court Judge Henry Miller sentenced Annabelle Gaston to 10 years and 6 months after he judged her sexual practices extremely dangerous behavior and a quote-unquote completely reckless conduct for a woman of her size. To prove this, the prosecutor showed documents attesting that paramedics took at least 12 minutes to release the head of Erwin Gaston from the inside of Annabelle Gaston's genitals. The time of death is estimated to be 17 minutes before the 911 call and 59 minutes after Erwin Gaston's head was removed from the inside of the defendant's genitals, he said in court delivering the sentence. Erwin Gaston was also hospitalized last year, only weeks after the couple's honeymoon, after, quote-unquote, large amounts of fecal matter had entered his lungs during oral anal intercourse, according to a medical report presented in court. When you read stories like this, man, my thing is this. Can you guys please start having some standards? Like, literally, please.
Yeah, don't be licking the... There we go.
Well, I'm looking at some of these quotes. It says, we were having sex and he started eating my hoo-ha. I was just sitting on his face for like 25 minutes when his legs turned a greenish blue color, she told the 911 operator at the time in horror. And it said, this is great. According to Gaston's lawyer, Erwin Gaston, quote unquote, liked to insert his head inside my client's vagina. And quote unquote, my client warned him on multiple occasions that it was a dangerous practice, he told the judge. Why is this a thing, right?
Yeah,
algorithm had to do that to us.
You know, before the internet, this would just happen and no one would ever know about it, right? It'd be one of those stories they tell you at the local bar. Oh, hey, did you hear there is a story this one time? This guy got his head stuck in her hoo-ha.
Yeah, that is a very disturbing thought that someone could wind up there. But like, I just want
that was a mistake, Drexel.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for all the good things, there's a lot of terrible things. But like, I just wanted to have that kind of, like I said, just something fun to kind of end it off with, and just get to a point where we kind of look at just like the current state of things, kind of chill out, and just be like, you know what, this is where we're at. Kid Cudi, you know, in a white dress, looking crazy. This is where we're at, you know, embrace it.
All right. It's been a while since I've been in an email bag, so let's take a quick look at a few of these. this one with the subject line, beautiful black queens are real, damn it.
Uh-oh.
About a week or so ago, and this was sent to me at the start of the month, so back in October. Drex was on Nick's stream, and a viewer asked or suggest for Drex to check out a YouTube channel called It's Complicated Channel. There's some real interesting stuff, like some proud, beautiful black queens. Excuse me, I mean German shepherds. Answer questions and sharing their thoughts and opinions on dating men. Anyway, it's a really great YouTube channel. I would love to hear you two thoughts on the women here.
I'll have to get back
to him. Also, give your boy Ruby King a shout out.
That was a shout out to Ruby King. I'm gonna look up.
It's Complicated Channel.
It's Complicated. It's Complicated Channel. Oh Jesus! Oh, look, you won't believe this. I click it. This is no lie. This was uploaded 5 days ago. Do you know what the very first video that popped up was? It says VIP. VIP word that rhymes with dussy. Rules of modern dating, understanding women, quote unquote, it's complicated. Wow.
Well, wow. There you go. There's your reaction to the channel. Wow.
Cheating and manipulation. Wow. Wow. Hey, man, it is what it is. Wow.
Oh, man, I'm getting pretty tired. All right, let's get through a couple more emails and we'll wrap this up. We got an email from Vegas here. He had something happen to him when he sent this in, and the story's just kind of stuck in his mind. He treated himself to some donuts at Pink Box, a gourmet donut shop. He says they're fucking great. I met a man there who had fallen on hard times and really wanted donut and coffee. Well, he waited for a friend to pick him up, but he didn't have enough money. So when my turn in the line came, I said, my friend and I are ordering separate, but I'll pay for both. And this guy's order was $5. Completely fine by me. He even asked if he wanted anything else before checked out and declined. After he got his food and he went outside, the cashier said, you're lucky he didn't go crazy. And our emailer replied with, have you ever fallen on hard times? She was dead silent for the rest of the transaction. Am I the only one who doesn't see an issue of showing a bit of kindness to someone? For the record, I never give anyone money, but if I can get you a treat to make you feel better, I'll do it. Because I've been there, and I know how much a small gesture like that can improve a bad day.
Yep.
But Drex,
I've done that before.
But Drex, where do women go if they need to pay the rent?
Yeah, you just go to the government or simp.
Or OnlyFans.
Right. Simps. I mean, they have avenues.
His first mistake was asking a woman if she's ever fallen on hard times.
Yeah, women can't fall on hard times. Until they go well past the wall. Like, well past.
Yeah. But even then, there's, there's always a marketplace.
Cougar
even
porn.
If you're post-wall.
Yeah, cougar porn. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Women can't get in that position where they can say, well, I'm on hard times. It's like, it can't happen.
Open an OnlyFans. You'll be out of those hard times pretty quick. Right? Anyways,
Wow, but hey, good
I've,
for him.
I've got
though.
That's a rule that I live by as well. I'll never give anyone money.
But someone wants food. If you want food, sure. If I happen
to. A pair of shoes. Oh, hot damn. Yeah. You can get a pair of shoes for $20 in this city if you know where to look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ever, you go out camping or something, you ever get your shoes wet? You got to walk around the rest of the day in your wet shoes. And you're like,
oh, it's miserable, man.
I'd give anything for a dry pair of shoes right now.
Yeah, pure misery.
Yeah. You imagine how much a change you can make in someone's life just giving them a, cheap pair of shoes, but they're dry.
Yep. Dry shoes and nice socks, maybe some liners. Yep.
Oh, yeah, someone wrote in asking if his girlfriend can join Miss Leximus on for a show.
Really?
We have a very traditional relationship, and yes, I am that high-income-earning man and can talk to why I was looking for a traditional woman. My girlfriend can speak to what her day-to-day is like. Partner of a single-income household, lay of the land. Yeah. Seems like,
well, actually, you know what, though? I might just have both of them on like we did with Lex.
Yeah.
You know, traditional couple thing. Because, that's already three women. Lady Rackets, Anna, and
Miss Leximus.
So it's like, yeah. So that way, if he wants to come on with her, I think that'd be good. Because, here's the thing. I think it's always good for people out there who are still dating, like, even though I tell you guys not to. So you just go like this for the people that it does work for, right? There's still, like I said, not all the women have turned into turbo thoughts. You know what I'm saying?
Come on,
so
tell us about it.
Somewhere out there, there's a girl like Anna who's kind of stuck on the fence, right? Like, well, I want to, dip my toe in the water and make it work, but man, everybody in society keeps telling me to, open an OnlyFans and be a thought. So it's like when they get that positive reinforcement of, hey, don't do that route. Go this route, look for these qualities. I think it's good because these women are lost, man. And like I said, a lot of it is not their fault. Like, imagine growing up as a girl. But here's the thing. So have the dudes, right? Like, dudes weren't meant to be cuckolds. You see what I'm saying? So clearly the guys have been led astray. So if the guys have been led astray, they're just on the opposite. They're on the server end, right? They're serving. They're vagina worshiping. They're simps. But on the opposite end is the recipient of all of this. And that's how these women have goddess complexes. So it's like, ugh. Yeah. So, it's nice to see that there are people out there who can say, do it this way. It's better for everybody.
Well, your chances of finding a unicorn is 1 in 1,000,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are 340 million people in the U.S.?
Yep.
340 unicorns out there. Or 340 yep. very happily married men.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nick Riccate is one of them.
Yeah. Certain people, like, if you have a quality woman, she's going to get wifed up. And that's actually one of the ways that you know if you're a quality woman.
You might just be lucky enough to be the guy that that has wifed her up.
Yeah. I mean, if this is for the women out there who, you know, still claim that they're such high value, high quality. It's like, if you were, though, like, you would be wifed up. There's no way that you're, you know, 40 years old and never married or whatever. And, you know, you're still claiming that you're the best thing since sliced bread. It's like, if you were, someone would have wifed you up at, like, you know, somewhere before 22, maybe.
Yeah. All right. Final email here is just, Oh, yeah, this is one of the guys from Patreon asked me how to get in contact with you. I said, send an email. So he did. He says he wants to. He says he's got a hell of a long email to write out for you. So I'll send that to you when he gets it in here. But
oh, yeah. Speaking of which, you know what? I still need to reply to the we had a couple
of German Shepherd outside.
Oh, Jesus. There's a couple people who sent you a message that you had sent me. I thought I had replied back. They were looking for some advice and some help. I will send that to you. Hopefully I can get that done tomorrow. I think they were in Canada.
You can just send them an email.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, true. Do that. Yeah.
If you don't want to dox your personal email, you can use the show one I made for you that you never use.
I know, right? Well, I use it on the surface. Yeah, you remember, so I use it on the surface.
It is on that computer.
Is
you got to open up the little mail, you know, you got a little envelope icon down on the bottom of your... Well, don't open it up on stream, though.
Well, yeah, but...
It'd be funny to see how many unread emails you have in there.
Yeah, right? I need to check that shit.
Yeah, the mail app on your...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I see it now. Yeah. Configured. Yeah, yeah. I was so used to using it on the surface. I was able to just, yeah, click, there it is, boom.
Yeah. I mean, same thing here. Click, there it is, boom. So you can use that one if you want to reply.
Yeah, I'll do that.
That way you don't have to give out your personal address. That's it for the email bag. Apparently, oh, God, let me see if I can find that email. Apparently, we are the 53rd ranked podcast in Austria under the self-improvement category.
Nice. Shout out to all my Austrian brothers.
Yeah. I thought that was awesome. I got that metric in. Man, I haven't done metrics in a while. We'll do it for the one-year anniversary. We'll go through all the downloads and the views and the... I think we're getting close to 100,000 downloads now.
Nice.
So, we appreciate every single one of them, you know?
Oh, that day is fast approaching. I just talked to our main man from Ghetto Gaggers, and yeah, he's got the equipment ready, so he'll be ready for...
Well, he better not bail on us. I will put the hockey mask on myself if he bails on us.
Yeah, he's ready. So yeah, I'm definitely excited to finally get a chance to put him on the show. I'll actually probably give him a call this weekend, briefly. I'm trying to get out this weekend, but I'll definitely give our man a call.
Need to get Mama Vic in for Nostalgia Week.
Yeah,
I'm gonna edit those. I've got to edit this episode, get it out on Friday, and then I think I'll spend this weekend editing Nostalgia Week 1 and 2.
Yep.
Push those out. I did just get the Chameleon Crusade video up. Man, I got a lot of stuff we're working on. Oh, God, we got a bonus episode this month, too. Who should I hit up for that?
We might do a show with Joe. I'll ask Joe if he wants to come on.
Yeah, ask Joe if he wants
to
come on.
That'd be a great bonus episode. Yeah. Because I know he's busy with the Rittenhouse trial, but I'll try to get Joe on, and then that way I'll do a show. He'll do a show for us. Because I know he wants to get me back on to his, so I'll hop on to his and do a show.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys had a good time.
It was great.
Do this. Yeah, we can do the recording for bonus episode. Monday, Sunday.
Yeah, Tuesday. I'll text Joe.
That should be after the Rittenhouse trial wraps up.
Yeah, because it should be done by then. I'm sure he'll do like a post reaction stuff, but I'll text him just to make sure, because I mean, it's something that you can always just hop in, knock it out, and then bam.
Missing bonus episode with Undead Chronic. Yeah, he never did show up for the last one.
Yeah, we'll get him.
Well, and Sir Yeetus, and oh god, there's so many people waiting to get back onto the show. I'm gonna have Tug and RGE call in during the anniversary stream.
Absolutely.
Still gonna get Flash in too.
Yeah, I'm gonna text him.
And Ty.
Of course. Of course, Ty.
I don't know if Ty wants to come on the show. Might be risky for him.
I'll be nice.
Oh, you'll be nice, huh? I'm not basing that assumption on anything in particular. It just so happens that there are people who are concerned about their public image when it comes to dealing with red pill content creators like us, mm-hmm. right? Nick doesn't give a shit. Doesn't matter to him, right? Oh, and he got Susan'd hard the other day. Did you see that?
Nick did?
Yeah, they PBS may have done like a copyright strike against
Yeah, of course.
Which just killed all his viewership.
Which doesn't really make sense, since, you know, it's a damn trial. Like, it's
public. No. Don't, if you think about it too much, your brain will explode.
Yeah.
Yes, Leximus, we are still doing Nostalgia Week. Let's get Mama Vic in for the next recording, and then we'll get anyone else who happens to be available.
I know I missed some of you guys, so yeah, I want to make sure I get you guys before all this holiday shenanigans.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's coming up for the Americans too, so
yeah,
spend some time with your family. We don't need to do anything special for Thanksgiving. We did the Canadian Thanksgiving, right?
Yep.
And then of course the anniversary stream is the big one, so that'll count for two live streams. Hey, Nick owes us a 48-hour stream now.
Yeah, Nick, look. He'd be insane to do all that.
Koopa said RPM on Nostalgia Week was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, man. It's Arkansas living, man. I'm telling you, when you start to see how big of a gap there was between the generations, man, you can see the decay. It's sad. It really is. It's really sad to see.
Anytime RPM is on, it's funny. I love his laugh.
Oh yeah, best laugh in the business.
Laugh. Best laugh in the business. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week, episode 51. You know, 1 year in podcasting is coming up in 2 weeks. 2 weeks?
Yeah. I think it might be three.
It's 2 weeks on Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Oh my God, I am not ready.
Yeah, we'll definitely get him on. I'll try to get to, I'll do my best to get to Nick's place the weekend before that, and that way I'll let everybody know where I'll be. Yeah, go ahead and hop over.
Nick's
and,
gonna call in.
Of course.
Like I said, I'll be lining up a freaking, I don't know how long this stream's gonna go. At some point, I'll probably pass out because I'm in a completely different time zone. Still on track to be with Phil. There's nothing that's come up yet that says I can't. So I know there was a taxi exploded outside of a hospital in the
what?
UK.
Damn.
Yeah, there was some kind of terrorist attack in the UK.
Of course there was. There always is.
In front of a hospital. They taxi bombed a hospital, Drex.
Dude, that's as UK as UK can get, man. Totally.
But anyways, yeah, I'm going to try and... Oh, God. Duke from Ghetto Gaggers is literally going to break the internet for us.
I know, right?
But looking forward to it. Hey, if you want to see Drex playing Cuckold Simulator, check out our sister channel, MGTOWN Arcade. You can find that both on YouTube and Twitch. Obviously, Twitch, you catch it live, or you can watch the re-upload on YouTube later. You can also, if you want to support the show, if you're new, you know, you stumbled onto us while looking for Nick Riceta. It happens. You know, maybe you had too much to drink. And you want to support the show, patreon.com/MGTOWNpodcast or subscribestar.com/MGTOWN-podcast. All these links are also on our website, makedown.show/about. You know where to find us. Yeah, get us. Till next week, everyone. Stay frosty.
Stay toxic. Peace.